Have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, look in front of you. There's a Bible in the pew rack that is written in the NIV, which I'll be reading out of. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus of Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affliction of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let us pray. Father, this morning as we come to you, we thank you for these scriptures that Paul has written and penned. Now we pray that you will take and help us to put aside all things that we may be thinking about, to put away everything that is bothering us, and concentrate this morning on your word. Father, you speak to us all the time, but help us hear this morning your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Thanksgiving weekend, and a lot of people have traveled. Some have already made it back. Some are leaving this afternoon, some in the morning, and whatever it may be. But one thing is for sure, there's probably not one person here that can say, I did not have enough ham or turkey. If you do, I've got extras at the house, and I'm sure others do too, that they would share it with you. But as we came together, we talk about praying with joy. There's two things in this that we want to look at. Praying, first of all, is one of the things we want to do. And secondly, how to experience the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look today and we think about this, I want us to think just a few minutes, if we could, and try to go back in times a little over 2,000 years ago. And if you have to, maybe you want to close your eyes and think about how it would be in the days of the Romans, and in the city of Rome. And we think about the chariots, the actual commotion that goes on, all the ups and downs of the markets and all of those things. But instead of looking back into all of the Colosseum and all of the kingship, the emperor's palace and all of those things, think about a little dingy, drab little room. Have you got that in your mind right now? Wet and all of the other things above. And as you think about that, you look on the walls and there's these big rings and chains hooked onto them. And if you follow those chains on down to what they call the shackles, they're around a leg. Paul's legs. Paul was in jail when he was written. In this case, we can see that the apostle traveled all over the world in his day telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now we see that he is bound by chains, restricted by the walls, restricted by the Roman soldier. And even in the house arrest that he was in when he wrote this, he is still chained to a Roman soldier. Paul is writing this letter not to say, woe is me, not to say, God, I heard your calling, I followed your calling, and now look what I'm getting. I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching the Word of God. I'm supposed to be standing in front of thousands of people. Instead, I'm in jail. I am hungry. I have been beaten. I have been whipped. And all of this for you, God? Many people have looked at it that way. But instead, he wrote a letter of joy. We've just read it. In all things, give thanks. Bobby Jones is a champion golfer, and he said this: "Have you ever noticed how much golfers practice? Smart businessmen have been quick to take advantage of that developing, and they're developing public driving ranges where you can learn to do your drivers, the long ones, and all of this. You're learning how to do putts, but why hasn't someone developed public sand traps? Sand traps are an inevitable part of the game of golf, and every golfer ought to practice ahead of time how to get out of trouble." That could be good advice to us, shouldn't it? We find ourselves today in all kinds of sand traps, and we need to practice how to get out of these traps. Norman Vincent Peale said, "Problems are a part of life. All of us are going to have problems right up to the moment we die, and some of you are going to have problems after you die." So it makes sense for us to find how to get out of sand traps. Today's courts, we see that in house arrest, they put a little bracelet on you, and it goes off and it beeps and it sends out an array. But Paul didn't have that kind of a bracelet. The one he had was hooked onto a Roman soldier, and wherever he wanted to go, Paul had to go. And he would yank that chain, he could beat him, he had privilege to do everything except kill him. And sometimes that's not the prison. The dingy little cell might sound a little bit better than actually house arrest, wouldn't it? But Paul sits here and he thinks about this, and as he does, he thanks God for all of these things. So as we look at praying with joy this morning, I want to see three things. First of all, prayer should be a first response rather than a last result. In verse 3, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Now, having worked with Virginia Baptist Disaster Relief, I understand first response rather than a last result. I understand that when a hurricane comes through, as it did not too long ago, and in years to pass, one of the first things they do is people go up there and they check everything out to determine what is needed. In the meantime, they are saying we need people to be on standby to be able to go, to call on that first response to be able to go. So as you know people are going, you need to be preparing yourself to leave and to go and to do what needs to be done. So as we think about that, we see that we should also be thinking about first response, not the end result. Chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that whenever anything happens to him, instead of being negative about it, he is positive. Not just for the positive things. We get excited and we tell people all about the things that happen that are good to us, right? But how many of us share the negatives? Paul says in all things, whether good or bad, positive or negative, to what? Give thanks to God. And he practiced what he taught. He was in prison and he praised God. In the cell, they said what? They set up at midnight and they sang praises. And because of that, the Philippian jailer came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and his family. And I think this is what he is saying to us, that it was his first response. How many of us in situations in our lives go to God for that situation? How many of us decide what we should do or not do on our own? And how many of us pray, "God, I've made the mess, now I need you to straighten it out." But it's what? The last result. Paul says the first response should be what? Prayer. We should pray. He prays, "God, thank you for the blessings that you have given me." How many of us can walk around and say, "God hadn't given me a thing today already? I woke up this morning, God has not blessed me since this morning, or last night, or yesterday afternoon." When's the last time God blessed you, folks? God blesses us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every breath we take is a blessing from God, isn't it? Every movement that we make is a blessing from God. And so we need to see that God is teaching him. This is the first response. But many of us will wait until we're knee-deep in trouble, don't we? knee-deep. I had a person that come to me, and he says, I've got a problem. And we sat down and we talked about this problem that that person had. And as they shared it with me, I was thinking, why didn't you go to someone sooner? Why didn't you come to me sooner, and I could have directed you in other directions? Now they were so deep that it was taking tons of phone calls and all day long on the phone talking with different people trying to get that situation straight. We always tie things and put it into our own hands, and when we can't deliver it, then we find ourselves in trouble, don't we? We find ourselves looking around saying, woe is me, what am I going to do, when all along we could have turned to Jesus. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellent is not an act, it is a habit. So what kind of habits have you developed in your life? Now I know we have good habits and bad habits, don't we? We have shared those. One of the habits that I was taught early on was to say, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir, thank you, and those types. It became a habit because when I didn't do it, my mother corrected me. I finally learned it. I got on my own, and I got away from it. And I find myself trying to get back into that habit again. And you look at some people sometimes and you say, yes, ma'am, or no, sir, or thank you. They kind of look at you like, what kind of weird language is that? Why? Because it's not used anymore, is it? We forgot how to be polite. And God is teaching us to be thankful, and we should be thankful enough when somebody helps us to say thank you, shouldn't we? But it's not. We assume that they should do it for us because that's what they're supposed to do. Therefore, no thank you is needed. Shouldn't we thank God every day for our lives? I have another day on this earth to serve God. So we need to think about that as we do. The second thing we see, prayer should be offered in an attitude of gratitude. As we think about that this morning, we see prayer should be offered in an attitude of gratitude rather than complaints. How many times have we gone to God in prayer with a negative attitude, a mad attitude, really upset with Him? And that is what Paul is saying. We should come to God in what? Gratitude. No matter what the problem is before us, we should do what? Come to Him with gratitude. Paul writes in verse 3, I thank my God every time. Do we thank God for everything in our lives? Our tribulations? Do we thank Him when we're up on the mountaintop and forget about the valleys? We come to Him in anger. Why did you let this happen, God? You know, I'm serving you, God, and this is what happens? I've heard people that have shared, I've served God and I end up going bankrupt. I've lost everything that I owned. Why did you let that happen, God? But you know, Paul gave up everything. Paul was one of the leaders in the Pharisees. He was a great leader. Paul was up there with all of the people that knew the Scriptures. Paul was sitting on top of the world. And Paul ended up in prison, beaten, hungry, cold. So what did he have thankfulness for? I gave this up, and this is what I get. But Paul says, no. I gave this up because this is much greater. To serve God is much greater than serve self. And he says, and so therefore I can come with an attitude of gratitude. I can thank my God for all things. And he says, I can remember all the people that I have shared the gospel with and those that have been taught, and they themselves have gone out and to share it with others. Yes, I got thrown into jail and I got beaten. But through all of that, this person, the Philippian jailer and his family, came to know Jesus Christ. Would that have happened if he had never spent any time in jail? Beaten, whipped. So you see, that passage of Scripture sometimes is hard for us to identify with, but it says all things work for the glory of God. When we serve Him, no matter what happens, works for what? His glory. And we need to see that. The second thing is Paul was confident that he would allow God to come work through him. Are we confident? Can we walk out of this church building confident in the name of Jesus Christ? Can we share with anybody the name of Jesus Christ? If you had an opportunity this very minute to share the gospel, if he was not a Christian, to our president, could you do it? First of all, we'd be so overwhelmed at knowing he's the president that we probably couldn't get through it. Paul says, I can get through it. Why can't I get through it? I have confidence in God who has called me to share it. So we can come and we can share with confidence anything that we need to do. Verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. I was watching TV and there was a black preacher up there playing, and he was using this exact scripture this morning. He was talking about God has carried on a good work in you, and he made his whole congregation turn around and look at each other and said, God ain't finished with you yet. And you know what? God is not finished with you or me, neither one today. He is still working. But we need to see that we need to be confident in God. Do you have confidence in God this morning? Do you have confidence that not only in God, but that he is still working within us and working with us? God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And we need to see what that plan is and then follow it to wherever it may be. As we look and think, God has given us opportunities upon opportunities to see that job to be done. We have an opportunity to serve our Lord, to go out and do what He's called us to do, to work with our children and our preschoolers, to work with our youth, to work with our adults, to teach, to sing, to play handbells, to use everything that we have for His glory. Now, I'm the type that I love handbells. And where's Kathy back here? Kathy, I would probably do good if I had colored bells and colored notes. And even then, I would probably miss it, you know? Even if you put me down with the youth, the children with the colored bells, I would probably be the one that messed up their notes. They would probably hit it better than I do. But some people can do it and do it magnificent. And others can just listen. And I'm one that listens. So you see, God can take anything and anyone and use us for His glory. And then finally, we should pray for God's glory rather than our own. God's glory. Verses 9 through 11 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth and insight. How can we study God's word and be in prayer with Him and not learn and put to use what He's given us? How can we do that? If we study it, if we do it, and if we pray, our love will abound more and more. And what this earth needs to see, what people on this earth need to see right now is what? Love. More than anything else, that's what they see. We can feed their bellies, and that will take care of that. We can give them a drink of water, and that will take care of it for a little bit, won't it? But what people need is joy that lasts forever, isn't it? And guess what? We have that joy that we can give them forever. God has given it to us to do what? To give it out. And this is what He's saying, that our love will abound in knowledge and in depth and sight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Working to become better Christians. I'm not there yet. God is still working within me. I am still that piece of clay that is being molded and shaped. But I can look back at my life and see where I was and to see where I have grown. Am I there? No. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but I am to do what? Work to that point. till the day he comes, so that you may be blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise be to God. We should be the happiest people on the earth, shouldn't we? We really should. Why not? Because we have Jesus Christ. We have the joy that he has given us, and we should be able to use it for his benefit and to share it with others. As we think about that this morning, the old hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Have your trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? You should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." That's probably some of the best theology outside of Scripture that I've ever heard. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Is prayer the first response for us this morning? When we have troubles, when we come across things that we just don't know how to deal with, is our first response prayer this morning? That's what it should be. Not at the last result. Do you pray this morning with an attitude of gratitude? Are you thankful for the privilege to even talk to God this morning? When you pray, do you make sure that God receives the glory and not us? Do we thank God for what is going on in our lives? We can make him our Lord and Savior. We can experience that joy. We can grow if we give God thanks for all things. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank you for this day that you've given us.